do you go?
When all that you see
are actors on your television singing off key.
What savvy, well-versed heroes can settle the
score?
Once more with TV.
Welcome, McDreamies and McSteamies, to Once More with TV, a podcast celebrating TV musical episodes from the sublime to the subprime.
And definitively ranking them using every theater child's worst nightmare, math.
I'm your co-host Liza Truchel, she, her, and I'm a Spamalot enthusiast.
And I'm your co-host Alex Kovnatsky, he, him, and I'm a Sandra Oh enthusiast. Killing Eve is the goat of spy
shows. Isn't she everything? I love her.
We watched Grey's Anatomy Season 7, Episode 18, Song Beneath the Song today. Liza, what is your relationship to Grey's Anatomy?
Sure. I've never been a Grey's Anatomy viewer, really. I've absorbed a lot through osmosis, which I think is probably true for a lot of people our age. It's been on for a billion years. I also, notably, I am from Seattle, and this is one of the few things that fictionally takes place there. So it does get brought up to me a lot when I mention where I'm from. People are like, oh, Grey's Anatomy. And I don't really have the heart to tell them that they film like 3 establishing shots a year in Seattle and film the rest of it on a soundstage. But oh well. Yeah, I've had many people in my life who are big fans, and I know it's I have a lot of respect for Shonda Rhimes's oeuvre and Shondaland in general, but I've never really been particularly a Grey's Anatomy person. What about you?
Yeah, same here. I've barely watched any Grey's Anatomy. The only Grey's Anatomy I've watched is like when a roommate or somebody else is already watching it and I'm in the room.
100%, yeah.
I maybe have watched this episode of Grey's Anatomy more times than I've watched just episodes of Grey's Anatomy in general or different episodes of Grey's Anatomy. You know, it's a heavy hitter. It's unavoidable. Everybody knows Grey's Anatomy.
Everybody. I think Ellen Pompeo is finally leaving, ?
Well, yeah, I forget that it's still happening.
Yeah, no, honestly. It's like still on. The show is still happening. I think Ellen Pompeo is the only person that we saw in this episode who's still there. I think she's finally leaving. I think I saw that recently. That also might have been 2 years ago. I don't know. This is one of those shows that exists very much in the background for me. So, yeah.
Absolutely. Well, getting with that Spamalot reference, Sarah Ramirez, who's in this episode, Tony Award winner for Best Performance by Featured Actress in Spamalot as Lady of the Lake.
Iconic
role.
Absolutely thrilling. The song that goes like this is the best song in it, or maybe Find Your Grail. They're both like absolute bangers in the show. Sarah, whose pronouns are they them, does play Callie, whose pronouns are she her. So yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think it's really smart to lean on Callie and Sarah to carry this episode, which we really do. It very much centers on Sarah.
Yeah, Shonda Rhimes, when creating this, was inspired, obviously, by Once More with Feeling. Something that we're learning about every musical episode is that they want to, you know, the creators, like, want to recreate Once More with Feeling in some kind of way. But Shonda Rhimes was funny. She said, ours is sort of the opposite of that in a weird way. They did an all-out show-stopping Broadway kind of musical. This is very different.
It is. Shonda's not wrong. This is a very different episode of television.
Yeah, let me hit you with a little bit of plot synopsis about this episode.
Sure.
This says, in a series first, the music that has been at the heart of the show and been beloved by fans comes to life for Grey's Anatomy, the music event. A cataclysmic event rattles the doctors of Seattle Grace to the core as Callie, on the verge of an enormous life-changing moment with Arizona, envisions her hospital and friends as it has never been seen before. Not really a great synopsis.
That is so vague. I kind of get that, like, it's a soap, and this is probably in the era where we had to publish our taglines in TV Guide before episodes had aired. So it is hard to put any specifics in there in case you give any spoilies away, I guess. But
yeah,
in our view, Callie goes through a windshield. By the way, a doctor not wearing a seatbelt That does not sit right with me.
Insane.
But Callie goes through the windshield and is in a coma, having an out-of-body experience, something like that. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure if exactly what's happening medically. I'm not sure Grey's Anatomy is, so I don't feel bad about it.
It's like the Scrubs episode where everybody is singing, except the rules are a little bit more loosey-goosey, I guess, with it.
The rules are very loosey-goosey. And so what I gather also from the one piece of information that did have that is that these are songs that were important in like moments of the show beforehand. Mm-hmm. Is that right? Okay.
Yes. Yeah. So all of the songs that are featured in this have appeared in Grey's Anatomy previously. And we'll get into what those specific songs are. But, you know, the kind of things that you would think of, like How to Save a Life and Chasing mm-hmm. Cars and that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
The main thing that we'll say here is that there's a lot of characters and a lot of stuff that happens in this episode. We will maybe try our best to summarize this, but we're mostly focused on the musical aspects of this. So
also,
sorry if it's confusing.
We barely
confusing
know who any of these people are.
Exactly.
We are not the people to consult about a Grey's Anatomy plot synopsis.
Exactly.
There was a moment where I genuinely was shocked when Ellen Pompeo showed up because I thought she was that other white woman with a round face, Arizona. I was like, those are different women.
So going back to Sandra Oh, I thought Grey's Anatomy was all about Sandra Oh. I thought Sandra Oh was
that
the
would
main
be a
character
better
of Grey's
show.
Anatomy for years.
Yeah, yeah, that would be a better show. I mean, no, it's about Meredith Grey, and that's sort of the goof, is that it's Grey's Anatomy, the book, but also Grey's Anatomy, Meredith Grey. I don't know if they do an anatomy report on her. I don't watch the show.
But anyway, suffice to say, Callie, our protagonist-ish in this episode, is Sarah Ramirez, who crashes through a windshield, is in a coma, mm-hmm. and hears people mm-hmm. singing.
Yeah, that's essentially it. It's essentially if Scrubs was very serious.
Yeah, actually. Which it is sometimes, but in very small portions.
In very small doses, yeah.
The first bit of singing we actually get in this episode is a singing of the theme song. Nobody knows where we might end up. Nobody
okay,
knows.
Okay, I thought that was what that was. I was going to ask you. Again, I didn't know the theme song for the show, but Callie sort of sings it under her breath.
It's a weird moment if you don't know that that's the theme song, but then mm-hmm. when I found out it was the theme song, I'm like, actually, that's a nice touch. I kind of like that as mm-hmm. a start to this, because it starts very dramatically with a car crash.
Unbelievably so. And so I guess like Callie and her partner, Arizona, have rear-ended a truck of some kind. And that guy just runs out of his car and says, oh no, and runs back away. Like, I get that we're supposed to be focused on Arizona. This is her big emotional moment. It's also, like, mm-hmm. becomes clear that she just proposed to Callie when they had this car accident. So she, like, hasn't gotten mm-hmm. an answer yet. And so it's her big emotional moment. And we're sort of focused on, like, this panicked look on Callie's face as she realizes she's having this out-of-body experience. And she's doing this very dramatic monologue about how nobody knows how the brain works, et cetera, et cetera. But yeah, this man just runs out, says, oh no, and runs back away. I'm like, same, honestly. I think that's probably how I would respond to that situation.
Fair enough. That's the moment of realism in this episode.
Yeah.
There's a lot of buck wild moments and buck wild lines throughout this whole, even opening before we even get to our first song.
Yeah.
I really want to highlight when Callie says Calliope means music, Calliope being her full name of Callie. Mm. And that's just not true. I don't understand.
That's not true.
I mean, Calliope is a Greek muse, and a Calliope is an instrument, but I don't think Calliope ever means music in any language.
That's so fucking funny.
So weird. That. But Callie gets, you know, rushed into the hospital, and we start with Chasing Cars by Snow Patrol, a classic song.
A classic song, yeah.
A song that I do associate with Grey's Anatomy, even though I don't know why, you know, but it's, I guess they played that song all the time in the show.
Yeah, that makes sense. I will say it doesn't make sense in this fucking scene. I mean, this is my main gripe, honestly, with this episode, is I think that using using songs that were already significant at other points in this show is like, I think it's a nice idea. It's sort of a nice nod to the fans of like, you've been there for these big emotional moments and like, here's us kind of paying that back to you. But the problem is A, very few of these songs make sense in context, including this one. I mean, this song is all about like wasting time lying down and like not doing anything, and this is the most urgent moment like ever. Like, I'm fine with Callie saying like that she's lying down because she's in a gurney. Nobody else should be saying that, because you all have to try to save her life right now. Okay.
Yeah.
My second gripe is that it means that a lot of the songs kind of blend together because they're all from big important emotional moments, and then therefore they all sort of do each other a disservice by just sounding the fucking same. So yeah, I kind of wish they'd maybe gone for a slightly different set list. But yeah, this one really kills me because first of all, there are like 800 doctors trying to treat her at once. It's simply too many doctors.
Way too many.
There have to be other people in this hospital that need help.
I get that Callie is their coworker and friend, but like, this is absurd.
Also, this horrible, horrible, horrible man, McSteamy, who is my personal enemy, I hate this man. I hate this man, is like insisting on treating her, even though he's like the father of her child. I don't know what's going on, but he is the father of her child. We should mention that Callie is pregnant, and that isn't a huge, huge thing in this episode. Point. He like won't accept that he can't be her doctor on this. I'm like, obviously, my dude.
Yeah, so like, dumb.
Anyway,
this song I do think is probably the best song in the whole episode. In terms of like the way they have delivered the parts. Everybody sounds very good in
Everybody
the song.
Obviously, great.
Sarah Ramirez sounds great. But the guy who plays Owen sounds incredible on his verse,
and then sounds
progressively worse on every other song.
I know. He has that other so song weird. Later. I don't know the name of it, but he kind of sings it by himself to get them all to focus. And it's like the worst sound that's ever happened.
Yeah, it's how we operate is what he sings later. And it's so bad. And it's so weird because it's really nice on this song. And it's not like overly auto-tuned. It's just like in a nice part of his voice. And he's not trying to sound gruff.
Yeah,
but whenever he tries to sound gruff, it's bad.
Yeah, by the time we get to How We Operate, he's putting a lot of sauce on it. And it is not helping in the way that he thinks it is. I think it really like reads to me as someone who's sort of uncomfortable in that rock space being asked to be like more rock. And he doesn't know what he's doing.
Yeah.
But yeah, we do start with Chasing Cars by Snow Patrol, a classic song for emo kids everywhere.
It's so good. And it's important to note, too, Chandra Wilson, played by Miranda Bailey, is also very good in this song as well, too. She takes the third verse. She was in a couple of shows. She was in Carolina Change, On the Town, Avenue Q, Chicago.
Wow.
I don't know if any of these were Broadway shows, but she was in these productions at one point. So she is a musical theater person. But one of the things that drives me crazy in this song is that Sarah Ramirez does this like really just nice poppy syncopation of "if I just lay here." You know, she takes a little pause between just and lay. And then every single singer does the exact same thing. It drives me crazy because then it's not a choice anymore. It's just everybody doing the same kind of lick on it. I don't like it at all.
No, I didn't care for it either. This song is sung well, and it's a good song. I don't think it's sort of an emotional fit, but not a lyrical fit, which I think often is what's happening in this episode.
The thing that sucks, too, is that this is, I think, as good as it gets. Like, the harmonies are good, the lines are good, the phrasing is good. Every other subsequent song is going to be the same problem of not really fitting emotionally and also sounding just a little bit worse.
I mean, because we move really quickly into the next song, which is Breathe 2 a.m. by Anna Nalick. I mean, first of all, singing under surgical masks, that's tough. But this song is almost the exact same thing as Chasing Cars. They're both also about slowing down and trying to breathe. And I'm like, no, this is the height of urgency. Like, we're moving into emergency surgery on someone. This is not the time. Like, this song needs to be a reprieve from other songs. And instead, we are repeating this again.
The only ways in which this song is different from the previous song are like worse edits, right? Instead of it being a group number where multiple people are singing, it's one person that's singing who's like not very good on this track. And then it's also no harmonies, no like kind of nice, interesting choices. So yeah, it's all the bad stuff originally with the first song and then just adding more bad stuff onto it.
Yeah, I feel like it was... I wish in general we'd been a little more inventive with our orchestration or like arrangements, because sometimes like we feel like we were being so true. It happened in this song, I think, notably for me. We're being so true to the original song that we are not really like making them work for the scene that's happening, like even in just like adding a vamp so she doesn't have to jump into the next verse right on time, sort of ruining this moment between her and this horrible man. It just doesn't allow any room for actors to breathe, I think, ironically, in this breathe song. It just didn't feel like, it felt like we were wedging scenes into a song rather than trying to like balance them.
Exactly. And, you know, this is a gripe that I've had with other kind of musical episodes as well too, but if you are going to put them back to back, at least make them distinct enough from one another, because then it's just kind of a wash.
Yeah, I also just think, you know, if we changed the orchestration of this a bit, this singer who's not one of our like more trained singers in the cast might have been more comfortable on it. We could have like tried to suit it to this character a little bit more.
And speaking of untrained singers, that's when we get into How We Operate. And Owen, who sounded so good before, just sounds
terrible
so much
suddenly.
Worse.
It was so shocking. I was like, wait, no, you were good. You were good. What happened?
It was in this moment that I realized there's a line for me. I think we've discovered that we love when people sound a little bit bad because it makes sense for their character that they're not great singers. But I don't want them to sound this bad. Like, I don't know where the line is on when we start auto-tuning people to make them sound better than this.
It's simply the amount of sauce on it. This is over-seasoned. I mean, this is a white man with, like, relatively no soul trying to bring a lot of energy into a song. And so it feels, like, overacted and oversung and, like, just weird. And I think it's just so shocking because he was good in a previous song. I think if he hadn't been good in a previous song, we wouldn't have noticed it so much. I really do.
I think you're hitting that correctly there, Liza. I think it's the melodrama of it that takes away from it a little bit, because when people are bad singers a little bit on purpose in previous episodes, that's to me is something that works because it feels in character. But when you add the melodrama to it, it starts to feel out of character and feels more performative than it is, acting.
It felt really, really performative. It felt like he was suddenly in a different television show. I mean, actually, the show is really melodramatic, but I guess the other two songs hadn't been somehow.
Yeah, that's right.
So yeah, it's an aggressive tone shift musically, and we barely, I mean, again, though, these lyrics are making almost no sense. I mean, I love that it's called How We Operate, because that's funny and really good. But unfortunately, the title of the song is not in the episode. What you get in the episode is the actual song, which doesn't fucking work. So we are trying to figure out what to do with Callie, how to operate on Callie and like save both Callie and the baby. But this song makes absolutely no sense. So we cut away pretty quickly.
Immediately. And everybody just starts talking over his song, and we just kind of hear him crooning in the
it's
background.
It's very funny to me. I will say, like, sometimes it bothers me because I think sometimes it's a lack of commitment to this being a musical to have people sort of, like, talking over things. But I, in this particular instance where we cut to Sandra Oh and a couple other people outside the room, and you can sort of hear him singing in the background, I got a good chuckle out of it. I thought it was pretty entertaining.
I think it's especially being in different rooms for it, because they talk over, you know, Chasing Cars, and like that kind of heightens the energy of it, because they're like, give me the scalpel, do this medical thing, right? And it's like bringing CCs. The drama to it.
Yeah,
exactly. And this is like, oh, let's just have a conversation about something else while he's singing in that room. And
yeah,
it's very funny.
I got a good chuckle out of this. I really enjoyed that.
But you're right, like, talking between the song is actually a nice touch in places, but they do it all the time, so it starts losing its effect over
exactly,
and over again.
Exactly, yeah. You got to be careful with that, I think. Because I think what you mostly end up doing, if you do it every time, is you just sort of, like, distract away from the music rather than using it for emphasis.
Yeah, the next song, Wait by Get Set Go, is actually maybe my second favorite song in this. It's, you know, one of the better ones, mostly because Chandra is singing this song, too.
She's great. I mean, she is really talented.
She's really good.
She has a beautiful voice. This song kind of suits her. I mean, again, this is now 3 out of 4 songs that sound almost exactly the same, which is like starting to get... What's funny is this one is a slow song, but it actually does convey a sense of urgency a bit, where she's like, we cannot wait to treat Callie. That is not how that works. So I think actually lyrically it makes a lot more sense than the songs that have come before it.
Exactly. And I like that the lyrics play on like Sarah Ramirez's character being gone, but also like in these relationships that are happening constantly throughout this episode. It's like, oh, you need to do something before you lose this person in this relationship. Like,
totally.
I don't know if it scans 100%, but we can understand that that's what it's pointing to.
100%. I also do think we would have been served if we'd just changed pronouns a bit.
Yes, totally.
I think we could have moved pronouns around a lot in this song, but like it
in
is weird.
In a lot of songs.
In a lot of songs, but in this one in particular, because we keep saying he will be gone and we're staring at Callie. I'm just like, say, like, different people can use different pronouns within the song, too. You don't have to change all of them, you know? But I think that would have brought that across much better. And it's a very easy thing to do. So it was sort of annoying.
I will say what helps it for me is the harmonies on, like, the ooze and he will be gone are quite nice. I like that a lot.
Totally.
So it for me, I was a little bit musically tickled by this song. And Chandra has like a really good run on the phrase blue as well, too. There's just like nice choices.
No, she's really great. I will say the song is a nice counterpoint to the worst man in the world, who is consistently. I hate this man. I have never watched the show. I think McStevie is possibly the worst person on the earth. Like, I was fuming with rage. It was so distracting. Like, every 2 seconds in my notes are just all caps, I hate this man. Like, because he, just before this starts, is when he tells Arizona that she's nothing. And it's like his kid. And I'm like, oh, fucking K. Like, what the hell? I was like, I'm going to kill this man with my bare hands. I'm assuming he's from Seattle, so he owns like an expensive Yeti cooler that he never uses except to tailgate at University of Washington, like football games. I'm going to throw it into a fucking wood chipper. I hate this man. He's the worst person in the world.
He's so... Yeah, he's so repugnant. There's something about him that, like, I understand why people were into him at that time in that era, but never me. Never anyone I know, honestly.
He is so, like, the toxic masculinity oozing off of this man is truly unbelievable. It's also wild to me because I'm pretty sure that girl who sings Breathe is supposed to be in a relationship with Jesse Williams, who's also running around this hospital.
Yeah.
And she's, like, into this man. I'm like, what kind of decision making is that? Like, imagine.
No, it makes no sense.
Imagine picking this man over Jesse Williams, someone so absurdly handsome.
So beautiful.
He's so beautiful, and it's so distracting. I'm moments of this episode where I know I should be listening to the words coming out of his mouth, but I'm not. I'm just not.
I will say what Grey's Anatomy does well, though, is this kind of like melodramatic, argumentative conversations where, you know, Mark has just said you are nothing and Arizona says you're basically a sperm donor. I was like, ooh.
Oh,
ooh.
I loved that for her. I was like, first of all, correct.
Yeah.
Second of all, yeah, I loved that for her. He is nothing. Yeah. I really fucking hate this guy. It will no, come he's up the again. Worst. But he is the worst part of this song, is that I also have to look at him during it, which sucks. And I wish that wasn't true.
This is not necessarily the next musical number, but the musical numbers happen shortly after this. But I do want to highlight that there is this like magical dream space that Callie enters with Arizona while they're like driving in the car before the crash.
Yeah,
it happens shortly before the next song, and we have it in the next song too. But it's like they're driving in the clouds a la Grease. Like, it's so weird.
It's so weird. I was also, everybody's eyebrows are tweezed to hell. Like, nobody has any eyebrows. And it really stuck out to me in this scene because of the way it's lit in that, like, dreamscape. In that, like, we're, like, driving through the sunset. It's very weird and not explained.
It wasn't clean or subtle at all that they did this, but I'm so glad that in that sequence somebody starts saying like, oh, Meredith has Derek, Christina has Owen, and outlines all of the relationships of Grey's Anatomy
so
far.
It was super helpful to me.
Especially because the next song is like all of those couples singing and making out. And it's like, oh, okay, I get a break to understand who everybody is. And also, you're going to show me who they are. I thought that was really helpful for me as an audience member.
Yeah, it was very helpful because we run into Running on Sunshine. Is that the name of the song? Is that the...
Yeah, Running on Sunshine.
Yeah. And finally, a fucking upbeat number. I was just like so excited that something wasn't like a sad coffee shop. I was like, oh, yes, it's happening.
And it's not just a fun number. It's a sexy number.
Yeah.
Everybody's kind of making out.
Sandra Oh takes
clothes.
Her shirt off. She's
we love that.
Getting it. We love that for her. Apparently a very happy marriage with her and this man. Sandra does not sing in this episode, which I have to imagine was her choice.
Everybody does, not everybody, but most characters do just like a little bit of lines in this. And I think this was our opportunity for like anybody who wants to have a line in this. This is where
totally because there are a couple people in it who aren't necessarily natural singers. But in this one, everyone's selling it. So I don't really mind.
Yeah, this a great example of like me not minding that everybody sounds like not super on the note or anything like that, because it seems in character and it seems fun.
It's fun and playful. Like, this is kind of the only playful song that we get, because we get people singing in their little duets to each other as they take their clothes off. And I'm just like, I don't know. I thought it was fun and it was a welcome reprieve from like constant sadness.
And this is also, like, I think pretty much our only real bit of choreography in the whole episode. We get, like, a little bit of dancing, kind of, like, choreographed movement of people, like, lifting them onto, like, different platforms so they can make out some more kind of thing.
Great. Excellent. That's choreo. You know,
I'll take it.
Yeah. I mean, Chandra sings with that excessively handsome nurse who we don't see at any other point in this episode. But I was like, my God, he's handsome. good for her. And we've got that guy in a hospital bed who I think was also a patient on Scrubs at some point. Like,
I'm sure.
Really, what a typecast. Just be an early 2000s vaguely sick man. But yeah, the only part of this song that I really hated was that girl who sang Breathe is like stroking the hair of McSteamy. Like, ew. Imagine petting this man while he sleeps. Absolutely foul. Absolutely foul. Vomit everywhere.
Yeah, and the song ends super abruptly and gets back into serious talk. Like, Callie, you're going to die.
We pivot extremely seriously right back into being very sad. So, great.
It's so funny how many scenes like end with like, you know, a classic Shonda Rhimes cliffhanger line and cut to black. And it's like, oh, man, this was an era. I forgot about this.
Yeah, Shonda invented that stinger. Like, she was like, no, we don't have to do it at the end of, you know, the episode. We do it at the end of every act. There is an horrible emotional stinger.
Before every commercial break,
yeah.
We need that.
Shonda Rhimes's, I feel like her writing philosophy was for Grey's Anatomy was, what is the worst thing that could happen mm-hmm. to this character mm-hmm. right now? What's the worst thing? And then she would write it. And I honestly, I have a lot of respect for it.
It's great. It works. I mean, it's how many seasons is Grey's Anatomy now, right? It's,
I know.
It's definitely
an unreal number.
The next song is Universe in You. This one is sung by Callie and Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
It's a nice duet. Callie is just obviously so much better than Arizona.
Sure.
And Sarah Ramirez is going to keep carrying this episode on their back.
Yeah, well, their shoulders so broad to carry the weight of this episode. No, I mean, like, I was really bored during this song, and it is hard to make me bored about queer women. That is a difficult thing to do. I am famously very entertained by those. So, yeah, I was really fucking bored. This is, again, it's too similar to every other song we've heard. This is mm-hmm. not a particularly interesting song in the first place, which is why it was picked to be in the background of a scene, not the mm-hmm. center of a scene.
Yeah.
I think that was also what was happening, is like, we've picked mood establishing songs, which makes sense if you're a music supervisor for a show where people have to listen to what people are saying most of the time,
exactly.
right? There's going to be very few times when you are listening to a song in its entirety without people talking over it. And so these songs were originally designed to help establish a mood during a scene where people were speaking. They do not necessarily have the emotional wherewithal to stand on their own and have any kind of impact. And this one was like completely lost on me.
That's a really, really great point that you're bringing there, Liza. And it's like, it extends to the idea of how musicals are supposed to like have people singing when they are like so compelled to sing because their emotions are so heightened. And we don't get that pretty much at all in this episode. I think that's not fair. I think we get it a little bit in spaces, but I think a lot of songs are just like, this is the emotion of the moment vaguely. I think we should sing now, I guess. Mm-hmm. And that's not quite why people should be singing.
Yeah, I mean, like, we get like 9 songs in 45 minutes, which is a really great count. Like, I am impressed by like how much singing we're able to pack in this episode, but so there is almost none of it is really spurred by that moment of like, I'm feeling something so intense, I can't just talk about it. That is not the impetus for these songs starting. It feels more just like, oh, we got to have a song here. And so a song mm-hmm. starts and then mm-hmm. people come in on it. I don't know. It feels a little out of place.
And it's where we start getting fatigue too at this point. Even the next song, which is Grace, and this is another Sarah Ramirez kind of like ballad. It's like Sarah Ramirez is doing so well in this song vocally and like really pumping that performance up a lot too. Mm-hmm. But it's just more of the same, so it's hard to like really engage with it as well.
Yeah, this had one of my only like notably great shots in this episode. I just wanted to note it. It does seem that Sarah, they're sort of like floating, like Callie's almost floating on her way to the OR, like through the hospital. That we sort of get a cut out to reveal that Callie is like this version of Callie that is existing outside of her body is sitting on top of the gurney as like she's wheeled through. And I just thought that was one of the only shots where I was like, oh, we're doing something different. Like, at least it's mm-hmm. different mm-hmm. than the rest of this, which felt very much filmed in the Grey's Anatomy like style. I wouldn't call much of the direction here anything very musical.
Yeah.
So that kind of was nice. I appreciated that.
Yeah, that's a great point there. And once again, this song, I do think, has really nice harmonies in the background. I think mm-hmm. if this show did anything well, for the most part, it's the nice little tasteful harmonies that happen in the background. But as far as arrangements, you're totally right, Liza. The arrangements are just kind of the same as these pop songs. So I think there's certainly more that could have been done.
Totally.
But our next one's a big one. It's How to Save a Life by The Fray.
Delightful.
So good.
I mean, again, we're running into a thing of like the title works more than the song.
Yes,
does.
Yes.
Like, once again, similar to like how we operate, this is a song that the title of it makes a lot of sense for doctors. The lyrics don't make a lot of sense for doctors.
Not at all. It is so funny because the first time I watched this, my emotions were all over the place because the piano starts and I'm like, that is hilarious. Of course this song is in this episode. And I started to get excited because I'm like, oh, you know what? Actually, this is great. This is a great choice. And then Owen starts singing and he sounds so bad on that first verse. And it's crazy to me.
It's crazy. I mean, did I get a really solid giggle out of this? For sure. Like
100%.
Absolutely thrilled by the Frey being a part of this episode. This song,
it feels like
such
a laughing at, not a laughing with situation.
Yes,
I
will
bit.
Say it didn't feel tonally appropriate for me to be laughing because this is an extremely serious scene. And there's, I don't know, the lyrics don't make any sense beyond the words "how to save a life," because "how to save a life" is very like obviously about someone who is, you know, worried because a friend has taken their own life and thinks they should have done something more. And that's not what we're doing here, which is actively operating on a person. So like, those are different things. But it was also fun to get like a big group number again. We hadn't had one of those since the beginning.
I feel a little bit bad for this note because I don't know how hard it would be to like make a nice chorus or nice arrangement for the chorus of this song with harmonies and things like that, because they do it once in unison at the very beginning and it sounds so weird. It sounds like an adult choir singing in unison of this song, "How to Save a Life." I think we were talking before, it's like adult bop version of this kind of song. But then when they do it again with harmonies, the harmonies are very bad, and it's somehow worse than them singing in unison. So I imagine it must have been a hard thing to arrange, because I think the original song just has that one singer singing it, and that sounds good. I think when you add voices onto it, it seems weird and echoey. At the same time, I think they probably should have figured something out about that, because it didn't work for me.
No, it doesn't really land. I mean, like so much of this episode, the intentions are good and then execution, I'm like, what? But yeah, I mean, we do save Callie's life.
A life.
So maybe
two lives.
We save a life. Two lives because that baby is delivered at 1 pound, 1 ounce. Sorry. That is so small. That kind of freaked me out, that stat. I was like, is that possible?
Yeah, I mean, it is possible that happens.
That is absolutely terrifying. But yeah, I mean, like, right after this song, we get this non-apology from McStevie, where he literally doesn't apologize, but I'm supposed to think this man is redeemed from calling this woman nothing just by saying she's not nothing. All he does is admit that, like, the romantic partner of the woman whose baby he fathered, whatever, all he's doing is admitting that she's a person, and I'm supposed to like I'm supposed to forgive him for being a horrible dick the entire
episode.
Isn't
that so dreamy? Isn't that so steamy, Eliza?
I was going to rip him apart. I'm going to throw him and his Patagonia jacket into the Puget Sound. I hate this man. He is my enemy. We also did not mention this, but like the moment we meet him, he just says, "I rocked this mandibular repair." I was like, how dare you? Because on anyone else, that line is really funny, but somehow when you say it, I want to rip you apart. He compares himself to Michelangelo in like the opening moment of this episode before he realizes that Callie has been injured. Anyway, this is the worst man on television. I was losing it with rage at this point.
It's so funny, too, because for our listeners who haven't seen this episode, he's barely in this episode. But every single time he is on screen, to Liza's credit, it is awful. But he's barely in this episode.
He really tore this whole episode apart for me. I couldn't stand him.
Our final song is The Story by Brandi Carlile. this is, again, Sarah Ramirez doing their thing.
But we finally kind of let them belt, which was nice. Like, we finally kind of gave them a challenging vocal line. I was kind of waiting for that this entire episode because, like, they are so talented. And I'm just like, just let them go. Like, just let them loose on something. Like, that was part of my frustration with the arrangements, too, is that, like, you have some unbelievably talented people here who could do a lot more than just sing a pop song like they're at karaoke.
Exactly.
Let them go for it. So we finally half let Sarah Ramirez out of the cage on this one. Mm-hmm. Not all the way, but we kind of do.
And Sarah Ramirez sounds great. I'm going to say some things that I think aren't their fault, really. Mm-hmm. But the direction of this is so buck wild and so bad. And I get that we're trying to, like, pump a lot of emotion into this song, mm-hmm. but just let Sarah Ramirez do that, because the camera is, like, spinning. There's, like, a lot of shoulder jerking for some reason.
Yeah, it's very weird. The direction on this bit is really strange. We're sort of, like, on a dolly track around, like, spinning in, like, the top of, like, the Seattle Grace Hospital, whatever it's called. Mm-hmm. And it's really weird. I mean, we are doing quite a lot on this scene where if we had just trusted our actor and done something with the arrangement, all of that would have come through without.
Yeah, because I ultimately didn't really like this song, but if I close my eyes, the song is great, mm-hmm. right? Like, Sarah Ramirez has some, like, really great, they have this, like, little scoop on the I Was Made For You kind of thing. I love that. And there's, like, a lot of little tasteful things, and obviously the belting is great. But watching it was upsetting.
Watching it was crazy. It really felt to me, I don't actually know about the timeline on this because I have no idea what was going on. But it felt a little bit like a really shitty version of what Glee used to do around Lea Michele. Mm-hmm. Where mm-hmm. it's like, once again, like, Lea Michele, obviously awful person who can't read. We all know this. But, extremely talented singer for all of her extreme many flaws, but obviously extremely talented. But yeah, like, this, like, overuse of the camera and spinning and cutting to random people feels really like a Rachel Berry power ballad to me. So I have no idea if those things are related at all or what aired first, but this had echoes for me.
No, you're right on it. This episode aired in 2011 and Glee started in 2009. So
there we go, baby.
you've connected it. That's pretty much the end of the episode. Callie ends up waking up. Callie and Arizona agree to get married.
Yeah, she kind of wakes herself up by, like, like, it's something that makes no sense lyrically or musically. But that's fine. And yeah, we have, like, a happy ending where Callie wakes up and agrees to marry Arizona. So we have, like, a nice ending on an episode, which is...
That's nice, I guess.
I was sort of glad it was over, I'll be honest.
Dang, a killer last
thought. That was fucking rude.
There.
I'm sorry. It's hard, like, having worked in TV, because I know how many people it takes to, like, do this kind of thing. And I hate just saying I didn't like something, but I mean, we'll get into scores. Let's just get into scores. Let's just do it.
Yeah, let's score it. Let's score it. Let's start here with the general vibe category, as we usually do. Mm-hmm. This is how much we liked it, how much it's aged, problematic or not problematic. Is it good? Liza, what are your thoughts?
Well, it's not that it's aged poorly. It's just really about this. This was relatively recent, 2011, you said, right? So not too old. And also, you know, I appreciate Shonda Rhimes for many reasons, one of them being that she was an early subscriber to the idea of having inclusive casts where, like, many people have, I don't know, like, Grey's has always had a lot of queer characters, a lot of people mm-hmm. of color, particularly mm-hmm. women of color, with huge emotional arcs and important things. So, like, I don't necessarily think this is aged badly. I'm not sure it was good when it came out.
Yeah.
It's, again, like we said, like, the vibe of this is overall, like, way too sad. The songs we picked are all the same and they're all really sad. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And... yeah, generally speaking, I didn't really get a lot of, I don't know, for me, I come to these musical episodes hoping for, I think music has such an incredible way of being emotionally engaging in a way that TV mm-hmm. often can't do on its own, which is part of why I love this blend of mediums so much. But, like, I didn't feel anything.
Yeah, no, it's tough because I love drama. I'm a messy bitch. I love it when relationships are confusing and people are talking about them and we're seeing the dynamics of them.
Yeah.
So
I
enjoy that aspect of a soap. I think it's hard to say that I enjoyed this episode.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
No, I totally agree.
I kind of feel a 5-ish, I think.
Yeah,
is like,
I think a 5 is fair. It's not a bad episode of TV.
Yeah, it's just not a great one either.
It's just not a great one. I think 5 makes perfect sense.
All right, going into the music, this is obviously found music. It's not original. We talked about the arrangements a little bit. What are you thinking for music?
For me, it's found, which is automatically putting it sort of on the lower end. And I think we've known multiple times that we didn't really care for the arrangements for the most part. And I think the music selection was sort of poor. It comes off as like a coffee shop playlist from 2007 and it doesn't have the arc that it needs to have.
Yeah, the interesting thing for me is that the arrangements for the most part aren't bad. It's just that they're all too similar, right? Mm-hmm. And there are a lot of choices that I think are quite good. Like, I do like a lot of the harmonies that they've chosen
to do. The harmonies, some of them are really nice. Some of them are really beautiful, yeah.
But again, yeah, it's not quite thoughtful. I think the music for me is not so bad. It's the lyrics that are much worse, and I need to divorce those two ideas a little bit in my head. So I think the music's still like a 4 or 5. I don't think it's that strong. I think a 4 seems fair.
Yeah.
I just do want to give them their flowers a little bit for some of the stuff that they decided to do, which I think was good. How to Save a Life was not one of those.
All right, then moving on to lyrics, which we've complained about significantly over the course of this episode.
The lyrics are bad, right? I mean, to like use found lyrics is hard to kind of relate to the characters and still fill the emotional theme. So I can understand that that is kind of a gargantuan task in and of itself. And I think also, you know, they were thinking about, hey, let's choose the songs that have already been in this show and are popular now, right? Like Chasing Cars and How to Save a Life had to be in this episode.
They're like inextricably tied to this program. I mean, they're sort of, for anyone who was like cognizant of pop culture at the time, those are basically synonymous with Grey's Anatomy.
Exactly.
Those had to be here. I do think, again, like, I am very appreciative of that gesture to fans to be like, here are all of the songs you've heard before at key moments. I wish we had strayed from that a little bit in order to make sure they made sense and made different moments.
And this is what's going to suffer as a result of that exchange, right? So I don't know. I think a 2.
A
really,
2. It feels mean, but they really... They really didn't suit like 98% of the time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry, Grace. Sorry, Shonda. I apologize.
Sorry, Shonda. Dancing. I mean, really wasn't much of it.
There isn't any. There is a little bit of coordinated movement in Running on Sunshine, which we talked about. That is it.
Yep. That's really it.
That is it.
I guess like there is the choreography of like moving people on those... What are those called? Those tables that have wheels on them?
The gurneys?
The stretchers.
Stretchers?
The gurneys, yeah.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot of that choreography.
There are
rolling
beds and like 100 doctors crammed around them. Just like too many doctors. Like, oops, all doctors. It's too many.
Oops, all doctors.
It's too many. Yeah there's
I think
not
it's a 2
really
as
dancing.
Well.
Oh, Shonda. Oh, yeah. I think it's a 2.
Performance. Vocal acting performance. I think it's fair to say that this whole performance is melodramatic by every character, and that is the world that we're living in.
Yeah, I'm not going to mark it down for that because that is their job on this show. It's a soap.
Exactly. But some performances were a lot better than others, obviously.
I feel like we always say that. It's always uneven. I mean, this felt particularly uneven, but...
I think this is the most uneven, if we're being fair.
Yeah.
but I think it's overall positive.
I think I
enjoy the performances.
Yeah, I think overall they're good. I think that there are moments that, like, you know, honestly, when Ellen Pompeo starts crying in that elevator, I was like, oh, there is a reason you anchor this show. Like,
yes.
I do kind of see that, actually. That felt like the only honest moment in this entire episode. Maybe because
totally.
It wasn't sung. Like, sorry. I hate to say that, but it did feel like an unnatural choice a lot of the time. But no, I do think overall performance is pretty good. I think with the exception of some singing moments that we didn't love. I mean, just Owen. Sorry, Owen. Like,
yeah.
I do think he's a better vocalist than what he did there. I think he was just trying way too hard. I think he's better than what he showed of himself, which is too bad.
I'm stuck between a 7 and an 8. Whichever way you're leaning on that, I'm happy to go with.
I'd love to give it a 7.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's give it a 7. That seems fair to me.
What's up next?
The writing is up next. And the writing for me is actually, I don't know. It's I'm in two minds about this one as well, too. Right. I think the writing is very good for what this show is. Right. You know, argue about stuff. Let's use these medical terms that mean nothing to me. Let's try to shove in these songs in places that fit for the most part. But I think that's also part of the writing's fault is that, like, yeah, these plot lines don't really match up to the lyrics of these songs. And this dialogue is buck wild sometimes.
Yeah, it is occasionally completely out of left field, but it is very much in the language of the show.
Yes. I feel like a 6 or 7 for me personally. I think it's more good than bad, but I don't think by a whole lot.
I don't think, I'm trying to think of times where it was like distractingly bad versus just what I sort of, it's what you get on the tin, you know, which is fine.
Yeah.
And I don't like to fault shows for that. So yeah, I think a 7 is fine.
Okay. I feel good with that.
Yeah.
The next one up is direction, which we talked about a couple issues, especially with the last song about, like, why are they spinning us? What is mm-hmm. the choice of shoulder pumping here?
Mm-hmm.
And I think this episode could have definitely benefited from better direction, especially making it look more like a musical. But I feel like the direction is very similar to every other episode of Grey's Anatomy, which, you know, I'm not an expert on, but feels like it's definitely in that universe.
Totally. I think with the exception of like a couple shots that I didn't like, it just felt like a medical drama, which is fine.
Yeah.
Yeah. There were a couple weird choices and the dreamscape is still odd to me. Like, it did feel that every time we stepped out of our comfort zone, I noticed. I don't know if I loved that.
I think I net liked the dreamscape more than I disliked it, but I think it's getting a lot of points because I'm just thinking of the ending of Grease and how funny that is that we're doing that. And I think that's intentional. I want to think that's intentional.
I want to think that's intentional. I mean, yeah. So I'm feeling overall this is a relatively positive but not shining. I think it's like a... God, we just keep throwing 7s at this show.
7 feels good to me. I was thinking a 6 or 7 as well.
Do you want to give it a 6.5 just for
6.5
to mix it up?
Good. Yeah.
To make sure
we have
something else going on this score sheet. Okay. Commitment.
Commitment is maybe the hardest category
for
me.
This is really difficult. Yeah.
I think in some ways they really do commit to a musical episode. They have, was it 9 songs in this? They have a Broadway singer on this show. Which I don't think is intentional. I think they already had them.
Yeah. Sarah Ramirez was on the show for a long old time.
Yeah, that makes sense to me. But they do commit to, like, let's sing a bunch of songs. Let's do it. Let's put it in our universe as best as possible. Maybe not as best as possible, but in a way that seems to fit the format. But at the same time, they're not really committing to a musical episode. Like, it doesn't feel like I'm experiencing a musical.
No, it doesn't.
Even a jukebox musical feels more like a musical than this.
You
know what I mean?
This didn't feel like a musical. I think part of that, and we talked about this before, is the constant inclusion of people talking over singing.
Mm-hmm.
To me, that's sort of a lack of trust in the song to convey what's going on, which is maybe fair because mm-hmm. the lyrics don't work, right? But overall, the effect is such that it sort of like takes away from this being like a genuine musical moment if we're still allowed to talk in it.
That's right.
So, yeah, I think that's definitely part of it for me. And I also just, I think the use only of pop songs is totally fine, but the, since we don't really rearrange them to sound like anything other than pop songs, mm-hmm. it's a bit different than like most jukeboxes, which at least do a rearrangement of a song. And this just sort of feels like karaoke.
I read this as like a love letter to Grey's Anatomy fans mm-hmm. and to like Grey's Anatomy, like songs that have built up the show over time, which is a great thing and totally fine. It doesn't read so much as a love letter to musicals or musical TV episodes.
Yeah, I think that's exactly right, actually. I think that's a really good point.
And I think that's fine. And I think that's good. And you can have those intentions. I think it's just not going to score that high for our purposes.
Totally. Though. Yeah. It's just a different end goal, I think.
Yeah. That being said, I still think this is probably a 6
or even maybe
a 7, because I think they do put a good amount of commitment into this.
Yeah, I think they put some work in. Let's give it a 6.5 again.
Nice.
Yeah. All right. Stakes. Stakes are pretty fucking high.
That's gotta be high.
Yeah. Stakes are pretty high. That. Like, a central character is on death's door for the majority of the episode.
And that character is pregnant.
You kind of can't ask for higher stakes than that. It's hard to do. And, you know, it's rippling out to affect every character. Every character is responding to this differently. I think the other thing I liked about that emotional scene with Ellen Pompeo is it was a slightly different reaction to everyone else's. So it felt sort of honest. Because Ellen Pompeo is upset with herself because she was mad at Callie for having gotten pregnant easily when she's been struggling to do that. And now is watching Callie almost die and is having some... Anyway, but what it's doing is actually genuinely affecting other characters in ways that are different and unexpected and have to do with their relationships. So I do think actually the stakes for this, it's hard to fault the stakes on this.
Yeah. Do we give this one a 10?
I think this is the only time that this episode's going to get it. So I want to give it. Let's give it a 10.
That seems fair to me.
Yeah.
All right. Last but not least, our personal rankings. Do you have anything to say before we jump into those?
Let's just do them. Let's just do them.
Okay. Count us down.
3, 2, 1, 4. 6. Ooh.
Okay, perfect.
Okay,
puts
5.
It puts us at a 5.
That's fine. That works for me. Putting it right in the middle, I think that really is where this lives.
All right, so that puts Grey's Anatomy Song Beneath the Song at 55 points, putting it just above last place, My Fair Lady at 54 points. So... not the best score for Grey's Anatomy, but at least it's not in last place.
Yeah, ouch. And overall, 55 out of 100, it's just about right above the middle, which I think is fair. I do think it's a fair
joke. Yeah, I think that's absolutely fair.
Well, next week, we'll see you once more with Season 3, Episode 8 of Steven Universe, entitled Mr. Greg.
You can find this episode on Max.
As always, thank you to Olivia Berslowski, our angelic audio architect, and to Sakana Powell, our debonair digital designer.
If you like this show, please be sure to rate and review us. If you don't, keep that to yourself. You can find us on Instagram at OnceMoreWithTV or contact us using the information in the show notes.
And scene.